This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, here we go. Thanksgiving weekend. I think it's the best weekend of the year in sports, especially when your favorite sports are football and basketball. And for you World Cup fans, it's pretty exciting as well. A couple of nil-nil games yesterday, Denton. We haven't even talked about that. Those must have been thrillers. But you did have, apparently, the upset of World Cup history with Saudi Arabia as a plus 2,000 underdog beating Argentina yesterday. I have no idea if Michael Phillips cares about the World Cup, but he joins us right now. Michael, of course, covers the team for the Richmond Times-Dispatch and can be followed on Twitter at MichaelPRTD. Are you watching, or do you care about the World Cup?
My two best friends, both big, big soccer guys, so I went out with them and watched. One of my first assignments here in Richmond, when I started the newspaper, they sent me out to the Richmond Kickers, you know, like, League Three soccer or whatever, and the game ends 0-0, and I just nil-nil. What am I supposed to say about this?
Right.
I mean, we need 400 words. Okay, well, they ran around for a while, and nothing happened. They seemed happy about it. It was a good draw. They were happy about 0-0. There you go.
By the way, I'm just looking. There's already one game in the books today, Morocco and Croatia. Final score, 0-0. That's 0-0 for you people that don't know what nil-nil means. So that means of the first, what is that, five, six, seven games, there have been 3 nil-nil games. Okay. I actually appreciate it much more than I used to. But, of course, I do a podcast twice a week with one Tom Lavero, who is probably the most cynical person I know when it comes to soccer. He calls soccer the sport that non-sports fans enjoy. Let's talk about the football team. I mentioned this earlier, Michael. Washington in the look-ahead line next week is favored at New York against the Giants next week. They have all of a sudden turned it around. Everybody is now starting to recognize them, including the boys in the desert. How did they do it? What happened over the last month and a half from where we were at 1-4 to where they are now at 6-5?
I mean, you can identify the offensive pieces that fell into place. They started controlling time of possession. The running game started delivering on first down. Terry McLaurin became a star. You know, all those things fell into place for them. But this is a defensive story at its core. This is a defense that really massively underachieved early in the season and has put it together. I think the defensive line is certainly one of the best in football. I think Jonathan Allen is playing at an all-pro level. I really do. I think he's the best of the best right now. Daron Payne playing very well. Montez Sweat playing very well. It starts up there. They made two bold decisions that have both paid off. One was to get rid of William Jackson, and one was to fire Sam Mills. And both of those have proven to be the absolute right decisions.
They have been, and I pointed to a third thing, the return of Cam Curl in week 3, because I remember coming in here that Monday morning after they lost to the Eagles 24-8 and saying, defensively, they looked like a different team. They completely shut down the run, and that's what they've been doing pretty much week in and week out. I've said here the last 3 days, I think it's a top three NFC offense. I'd put Dallas and San Francisco ahead of it. It's clearly a top 10 defense. But to your point, this is the best front four in football right now.
Yeah, And, you know, I didn't mention Jamin Davis the first time around. Obviously, his improvement has enabled a lot of this as well. But, you know, fortuitous timing, and you know, so much of life is timing, that as the league turns to the run more, this has been a big year for the run across football. And, you know, they've played some star running backs, and they have shut them down. I mean, this is not a fluke. Damian Pierce this past week, but you can do the roll call of running backs who are averaging 80, 90, 100 yards a game, who got 20 against these guys. I mean, as they are making teams one dimensional. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's remarkable what they've been able to do up front without scheme and help. I mean, in that so much of everything that, you know, they're not bringing extra guys down to help. Those four are just getting the job done. You know, one more thing I'd say about up front, Fedarian Mathis goes down in week one, and that's a tough blow. They don't have the depth there. Payne and Allen are just kind of out there all the time now. I know Ridgeway's coming in every once in a while. He made his presence felt on Sunday. But on the whole, Payne and Allen are just out there all game mostly.
You know, that's a really good point, and I made a note to myself to mention the snap percentages that Payne and Allen have been playing. And really, Sunday was the first time in several weeks where their overall percentages were down, but that's because this game was a blowout. Yep. It's the first, you know, no sweat game that Rivera and Del Rio and Turner have had, so it gave the opportunity for them to play, you know, Wise and Ridgeway and Obata, you know, a lot more snaps on Sunday. So we're talking to Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I completely agree with you. This is right now in a top 10-ish defense, an elite run defense, and an elite front four right now. It's a weird year in the NFL, and it's also an odd year with respect to quarterbacks in the NFC in particular. How far can this defensive-led team go, you know, now that they're 6-5 and very much squarely in the playoff hunt?
I think depending on the matchup, they can win a playoff game. That's what I'm pegging them at right now. I'm circling that game against San Francisco in a few weeks. That's a Christmas Eve game. I think that's potentially got major implications. The way we're rolling down here, I think San Francisco is squarely in the mix. I think they're improving. I think as the Giants start fading, you look at both of those Giants games as a real opportunity. Got to get one, but to get both, I think you could almost steal their spot right there. It's there for the taking for sure. What's funny is I'd probably give them right now a 50-60% chance of making the playoffs, but I'd give them a decent chance of winning a game in the playoffs. I think they're built for it. I think they're ready for it. They're not NFC title game good. Even that Philly win on Monday night, you know, I don't want to take anything away from it. Beautiful game plan, well executed. But they also needed two really big, fluky, lucky turnovers. One where they don't call the face mask, and another where, you know, the dude catches it for 50 yards and then coughs it up. I mean, Philly was running their offense at a high level. I think Minnesota is a better team fundamentally, too. So I think both of those teams have to be considered better football teams right now. I don't know what happened in Indianapolis last week. You know, we'll see if the Eagles bounce back, I guess. But I think both of those teams are just better teams top to bottom right now. I think the Seahawks are for real, too. I really do.
We're talking to Michael Phillips. I was going to ask you, that was going to be my next question, which is, you know, and I asked Sam Fortier this yesterday, give me the teams right now in your mind's eye that are definitively better than Washington. You know, I'm not talking about where we could debate. I'm talking about are definitively better than Washington. You think it's Philadelphia and Minnesota?
In the NFC. But I'm going to put Seattle in there too. I'm aware that people can argue that, and I'll certainly allow that argument. I think the West is a better division than people give it credit for. I think they're beating up on each other a lot. I'm not prepared to put the 49ers in that group, notwithstanding Monday night. I think these guys can beat the 49ers. I think it's three teams definitively better than them right now in the NFC.
Well, you and I are in disagreement on that. I think the 49ers are the best team in the conference right now. And I think Dallas and Philadelphia, those are the three that I think are definitely better. I don't think Minnesota's definitely better at all. That's interesting that you said that. I think that they could lose Thanksgiving night to New England. They are hurting right now along their offensive line. They're not a good defensive team at all. And we know, you know, there was this fine line in getting to 8 wins to begin with. You know, all of these fourth quarter comebacks from down 10, you know, in the fourth quarter, including, you know, at Washington. I think the wild card for me, Michael, is Tampa Bay. Because they're the one team with the quarterback. If they get it together and they've got enough talent to get it together, we may be sitting here a month from now, or call it 6 weeks from now, and the Buccaneers all of a sudden are, you know, 11-6, hosting a game, and potentially, you know, who knows, 2 games, depending on the way things shake out. That they're the team to me that is the one that I'm not so sure about. We could be saying they're better than Washington too, but. San Francisco. I'm surprised you didn't say Dallas or San Francisco.
I completely agree with you on Tampa. I think that's a team that could surge, and you know, it's such a long season. They've got time to do that too. Dallas has better players top to bottom than Washington does. There's more talent there. That's indisputable. I don't trust them. The Ezekiel thing. The way they have letdowns occasionally. I get that they were dominant on Sunday. I don't know that I trust them. I think they beat the Giants probably. I don't know that I trust them in a broad sense, though.
Talking to Michael Phillips, big one this Sunday against Atlanta at home. What do you expect, whether it's this weekend or the following weekend against the Giants, from Chase Young?
I don't know if he's going to play this weekend. I'm not sure he's going to be, game day active this weekend. I'd be very curious to see how he practices this week, but they're not seeing what they wanted to see in practices, and they're not seeing out of him what I think they thought they would see by now. And I think they've got such a good thing going right now. They're not going to do it just, you know, I think the days of publicity stunt playing of guys are over. I think Ron's got enough juice to shut that down. What was Ron's comment the other day? It was something like, you know, he'll start with like 10 to 12 snaps, and maybe by the end of the year, he'll be ready to play like 20 or 30. Like, whew, that is not a vote of confidence right there.
Yeah, but what is that not a vote of confidence in? His capability right now physically, or Ron and Jack saying, we got a really good thing going right now with our front four. Let's not mess it up.
I think it's physical condition and shape. I think this is essentially a lost year for him at this point. He comes back next year, and you hope he's regained that explosiveness. Freelancing aside, and that was obviously an issue last time around, I think this is far more about his ability to explode off the edge and get to the quarterback, and making sure that when he's in there, he's able to do all the things he needs to do to cut and to chase and to do everything they'll ask of him out there. I don't think it's got anything to do with chemistry or anything like that. You got to leave open the door that by the end of the year, he would, you know, absorb into this system and be ready to go. But that does not seem to be the case. And you know, Jack Del Rio has said very similar things as well.
All right, let's talk about the offense and the quarterback in particular. Are they getting exactly what they want out of Taylor Heinicke?
I guess that depends who they is. I'm still of the belief that Ron's trying to bench him. I really am. That was the world's most begrudging endorsement of a quarterback this past weekend. I don't think Ron's thrilled with what he's getting. I think that he is a military man who thrives on order and predictability. And he has a quarterback who is none of those things right now. He single-handedly gave away that Vikings game at the end, and he single-handedly won a game at the end too. That is the Taylor Heinicke experience. I think the defense backs him up, and that's good enough for me. And I think the number one thing I keep coming back to with Taylor Heinicke is he's getting the most out of Terry McLaurin. And Terry McLaurin is this team's best offensive player, and I think that's just a huge factor here. That's your star, and he is getting the most out of him. And I think that has been a big part of what's going on here.
I think that's interesting because I know what you're saying and I know what he said the other day, and it really does seem like when he talks about Taylor, there's the positive, which is, you know, he is really well-liked, obviously. And I think ultimately, you know, what you just said is true. You know, he's getting a lot out of Terry. But really what it is Ron can't go against the leaders on this team or the locker room. They want Taylor Heinicke. They don't want Carson Wentz. But I think what you said is really interesting, and I think a lot of people's ears perked up when you said, and I think I'm paraphrasing, although it might be a direct quote, you still think Ron's looking for a way to bench him. I don't think that'll happen, do you?
No. I think if they lost to Houston, they would have. I think he's bought himself, he can put a loss in the books. They can lose to Atlanta, and he'll keep rolling. I think he's earned that, and I think that the locker room will still back him through that. You know, I don't know if he dropped both of them going into the bye week. You know, the bye week's the time you make changes. I don't know. But I think also this team's rolling enough that that's not really a hypothetical road we need to entertain as you know, a likely possibility.
That's not going to happen.
Exactly.
I don't think. Could.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're not playing Houston on Sunday, and they're not playing Houston next Sunday. They're playing two teams that are much more sort of comparable with Washington, but I'd be surprised if they lost both.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's Heinicke the rest of the way, and I think that John Allen had a great quote the other day. Is, you know, quoting Nick Saban, that you'll paraphrase, is, you know, you, the coach doesn't pick the starting quarterback, the team does, and it's this intangible thing. But you know it when you see it, and we see it, and here it is. And I mean, I think Ron is definitely smart enough to not go against the team.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is really to sort of contemplate, what would they really be getting in Wentz? For me, and I've said this for the last week or so, in some ways, I don't want to excite Scott Turner out of the game plan and the play calling that he's employed here over the last several weeks. And Carson Wentz may do that. And I don't know that that would be the right thing.
Yeah, they've got the perfect formula. Don't mess with success. I mean, that's essentially both conversations we just had here with Chase Young. Don't mess with success. They've got success right now. With Heinicke, don't mess with success. They've got success right now. And I don't want any doors cracked open on anybody thinking it might be a good idea to bring Carson Wentz back next year. I would like that door firmly closed and bolted.
I think the big difference between the Chase Young conversation and the one we just had with Heinicke and Wentz is that Chase Young could actually really end up providing a massive boost to an already great defense if he was physically Chase Young. That's a big if. But if he were Chase Young of his rookie season athletically pre-injury, and all of a sudden he's going to play within the scheme a little bit more disciplined, I mean, my God, on the opposite side of Sweat with Payne and Allen inside, you know, in a playoff game on the road against, you know, just call it a stationary quarterback like Garoppolo or Cousins or Brady, that would be interesting. I mean, it's already interesting with what they have.
Heck yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't think Chase is going to be ready, you know, even for a playoff game to be a major impact player. But it's really fun to think about, especially the level Montez Sweat's playing at right now. And I appreciate there's so many external factors that could be bringing this group down. I mean, one of the guys punched one of the other guys last year in a primetime game.
Right.
And it's a contract year for two of them. Chase Young's probably going to get his fifth year picked up. But in the offseason, you know, there's so much swirling around. They've been so good at just tuning that out and performing at a high level.
Well, you just, we're talking to Michael Phillips. You just brought up one of the things I have on my list, which is Daron Payne. I guess Daron or Ron Rivera told J.P. Finley in an interview that on Daron, quote, "It's going to be hard, but we're going to do it." Meaning we're going to figure out a way to keep Daron Payne. Michael, I think they have to. What do you think? You know, what do you think? And then what do you think they'll do?
I think you'd probably franchise tag him. I mean, I don't, without having the numbers in front of me, that's occasionally a losing proposition.
$18 million. Franchise tag, $18 million at the position next year.
It's occasionally a losing proposition when you get, you know, an interior guy instead of, you know, and you have to pay the exterior money. I think he'll get 18 on the market though. So I don't think you're overpaying at 18. Would be my early read on that. I don't know that that's a solution. They may look into doing an actual long-term contract. I don't think the ownership status is going to mess up too many things. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on here. You know, if he knows he's about to sell the team, he may not want to cut that signing bonus check. You know, you franchise tag, you don't pay the guy until week one.
Right.
It's just, you know, he would kick that financial obligation down the road. It's probably too early to speculate on how that would influence things, but I completely agree with you. You have to bring him back, period. Yeah. Full stop.
Yeah, here's the direct quote from Rivera to JP on JP's NBC Sports Washington show. Quote, "You look at the D-line and you've got these two tackles that we want to keep together. We want to do everything we can to keep them together. We know it's going to be hard, but we're going to do it." Closed quote. Rivera, I guess that was yesterday, on keeping Daron Payne long-term. He has been one hell of a player this year. And that combination, and, you know, it's such a good point. If you guys look at, you know, defensive tackles around the league in terms of snap count percentage, boy, up until Sunday against Houston when they got a breather, they've been playing a significant percentage and higher than the average number of snaps. But they don't look any worse for the wear, that's for sure. All right, thank you, always.
One more.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, one more thing I'd throw on that. People, yeah. they took their foot off the gas in the second half. They did that because they needed to do that. They needed to give those guys that breather. They earned the right to take their foot off the gas.
No doubt. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Kevin.
All right, Michael Phillips, everybody. One of my favorite conversations about the team. We'll do some NFL buy and sell. We'll do some NFL power rankings. And at 8 a.m., we'll get back to the Commanders. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.